I think you're kind of fishing for that one. Amen. Actually, my youngest son is getting married next Saturday night in Florida. I'll be on the beach drinking non-alcoholic margaritas and marrying my son. So pray for me. But actually, we'll be in. So I won't be back on Sunday in time. I won't actually fly until next Tuesday, Lord willing. And so that's the news. The other news is I've got some capable people that'll be here to preach. Amen. Well, I don't know about that, Brother Mark. There's a couple of them thought so, but anyhow. Now, Brother Mark will be preaching Sunday morning, and Brother Kendall will be preaching Sunday night, and they're going to carry on, because you know what? God's God. It's not about the preacher. It's about your service and your desire to be with the Lord in His presence. So anyhow, so that's next week. You pray for me, though, and my baby's getting married. Somebody asked me, am I going to get emotional about it? I don't know if I am, really, honestly. I don't. I never know. I'm not emotional now. But neither was I emotional when my oldest son went to college, and I was fixing to get back in the car. Didn't have any emotion whatsoever. Went to hug him, and just boom, it just came out like a flood. Ah! Amen. They still kid me about it to this day. It's kind of a running joke in our family. But so I don't know. I hope I can handle it. I mean, I've married all my other kids, and absolutely, I actually did the funeral for almost all of my family, from my dad to my grandmothers and grandpa, and just about everybody. So I've been. God's helped me through a lot of things, and it's my baby. Now, if you don't know him, he's 6'3", but he's my baby. Amen. And so you pray for them too, amen. Because you get married these days, you need prayer. Somebody say amen. Okay, well, we're going to, it's getting late. I want you to look with me in the book of 1 Kings. Yeah. 1 Kings, chapter 20. Now, I want to read this. It's a little narrative, but I want to draw a little bit of application. So this is really just application this morning that you can apply to your life. And I want you to really listen to me this morning. I want you to understand, I don't come here just to pick out a sermon and preach and maybe somebody will say I did well. I really absolutely want to help you this morning. And everybody here that is here, and those are listening by other means, such as TV or internet, it can help you if you really listen this morning. 1 Kings chapter 20, verse 23, it says, and the servants of the king of Syria said unto him, their gods are gods of the hills. Now they're fighting against Israel. Syria is fighting against Israel. And this is the comment that the king of Syria made. Their gods, speaking of God, our God, Jehovah, Elohim, Yahweh, their gods are gods of the hills. Therefore, they were stronger than we. But let us fight against them in the plain, the valley, and surely we shall be stronger than they. Yeah, they can fight up in the hills. We'll get them in the valley. We'll get them. Verse 28. And there came a man of God and spake unto the king of Israel and said, thus saith the Lord, because the Syrians have said, the Lord is God of the hills, he is not God of the valleys, therefore will I deliver all this great multitude in thy hand, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. You may be seated. This morning I want you to really look in some retrospect. I want you to look down deep inside. Because every day you live is one more day that you do not have. Every day we're hemorrhaging life. Every day that goes by, we're getting closer to that time. And so why would we waste our time always looking to the future or always peering back to the past? You've got to look at today and know that God is God today. Amen. And there's little things in our lives. There's things in our lives that God does that sometimes we miss. And if we'll just keep our eyes open, he that hath an eye, let him see. He that hath an ear, let him hear. If we'll keep our eyes and ears open, well, I tell you, we can see God. We can see God. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to see the Lord this morning. And I want you to see Him in your circumstance and everything that you go through in life. And don't miss it, because it could happen just that quick and God will show up and then He'll be gone and then you'll miss it. I read the story of Corrie Ten Boom. Most of you probably have. She was captured. She was a Christian. She was a Jew. They put her and her sister in a concentration camp. And there, they experienced some of the worst atrocities and some of the worst things that could happen to human beings. And her sister got very bitter. Because on top of all of the things that were going on and all of the situation that was at hand and having to be in such a horrible place, there were bed bugs in their barracks. And she began to question God. And she said to her sister Corrie, "I'm beginning to get bitter." She began to get a hard exterior towards God. Sometimes we do that. We have circumstance come in our life and we get hard towards God. And somehow we begin to blame God for all the little things. If God was really God, then why did this happen? You should never question that. God knows best. That's what it's called trust and faith. Well, she was very bitter about that. And to make a very long story short, they noticed that they were having prayer meetings and they were leading these people to Christ and they were having a Bible study of what Bible they knew. And they noticed that the guards, for some reason, quit hassling them. They would not come into their barracks. And then they found out later why. Because of the bed bugs. They were the only ones that had bed bugs. And so while they were hassling everybody else, the bed bugs kept the soldiers out. And because it kept the soldiers out, they were able to have prayer meetings and Bible studies and lead people to Christ. What am I saying? A lot of times we get the little things in life that give us trouble and the circumstances. We wonder, is God really in this? Let me tell you something. God is in everything. I mean, in the sense, not pantheism. I'm talking about in everything in your life, because He's in control of your life. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to understand that sometimes we fall into the sin of limiting God only to the greater hours of life. And we put God in this box. And we say God is only God when we're on the mountain. God is only God when the supernatural is evident before us. And we see divine miracles. And we see the things that we call the greater hours of life. But let me explain something to you. Sometimes we only see God in the big things, the supernatural days, in the rare moments of life. Because these things are rare. These things are not every day. Everybody's seen a miracle, I know. I'm talking about, you know, a miracle. You say, hey, I saw a miracle from God. But it's not like you see it every day. It's not every day that somebody gets up out of a wheelchair. It's not every day that the blinded eye is open. It's not every day as Jesus, it was when Jesus was here, but it's not today. I'm telling you, but God is still moving in the times that we think not. Now look at this story for a moment. Now here is Syria, and they were fighting Israel. And they found out they were always getting beat in the mountains, beaten on the hills. So they surmised the God of Israel is the God of the mountains. He's a God of the hills, not in the valleys. Boy, were they wrong about that. Dead wrong, seriously. Literally, dead wrong about that. Because the story is, and the application is, that God is the God on the mountain and is also God in the valley. He's God in the good times, and thank God for the good times, and He's God in the bad times. He's God when there's a party going on, and He's God when the tragedy is hit. He's got all the time. As we said this morning, God is good all the time, and all the time God is good. But I can honestly say life is not always good, and my circumstance is not always good, and things aren't always going good for me, and sometimes I just have a bad day. Amen. Sometimes it's like, you know, your horn gets stuck behind a motorcycle gang. That's a bad day. Amen. But the good news is God is God on the good days, the bad days, the glad days, the sad days, the days when I'm well, the days when I'm sick. He is God all the time because God is God. So are we sure that God's a God on the mountain? Sure we are. Sure we are. It's easy to do that. We bask in the supernatural victory of God. Not one of us here has ever had anything that hasn't been in the church long. I mean, that has been in the church long enough, I should say, that sometime in your life, and I'm talking about the church, I'm talking about the church universally here, that you can't come in here and give a testimony. Thank God I saw him in that. Thank God God showed up. I seen a supernatural miracle, and we feel as though we're the king of the world. I'm the king of the world. Amen. But I don't always feel like the king of the world. Sometimes I feel like the beggar in the prison. Amen, amen, amen. But he is God of the valley as well as the God on the mountain. In the lowly, 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 sometimes low, low down places I've been in my life. I've been that low. I've been so low before, I could have sat on a Kleenex and dangled my feet. That's how low I've gotten before. And we've all been there. I know we can see God in the extraordinary days, but I want you to see God and know that he's God in the ordinary days of life. Every life has its dramatic hours when we could move into those exhilarating heights of the mountain, when we're happy and glad, and you know, we got things going on that are just seems like everything's good. Life is good. God is good. But you forgot to say God is good all the time. And I want you to understand, when you're happy, that's good. But when you're sad, that's not good. But God is still good. God is still good. You see, in such hours, you feel near to God. I'm talking about the good times. Let the good times roll. Let the blessings flow. I'm going to get under the spout where the glory comes out. Well, I've been in the desert when there wasn't nothing, and nothing was coming out. Called faith. By faith. It's not just the good times, it's the bad times too. You see, we are strangely conscious of God during the times we're on the mountain. But to limit God to the rare moments on the hills, I should say, is to miss a blessed fellowship every day. That's the point. The point is, if you only see God in the good times, and you know, I know that's kind of subjective, because good times are your, not, you know, are your good times, my good times, but we all know when we feel like we're the king of the world, we feel like everything's connecting, everything's working out together. I mean, all things are working together. It's good times, and we feel great about it. It's easy to come in here and praise God. It's easy to lead a Jericho march. We ain't done that in years, and I'm not suggesting you do that, but I'm just saying, we used to do that in the church. Remember them Jericho marches? Somebody be feeling good, woo! And they get to marching around the church, and everybody start marching with them, and somehow the walls come tumbling down, I guess. But the fact is, it's easy to do that. But it's not so hard to come in here, or so easy to come in here. And it's much more hard to come in here when you are not feeling so well, and you didn't get a good report, and you didn't get good news, and things aren't working out for you. I want you to understand, what you're going to do is miss God just on the common days. He is God on the ordinary days, but he's also God on the extraordinary days and the common days. So don't limit God. Don't make the mistake to limit him just to big miracles. Point number one. We often limit God in the miraculous demonstrations of God. Man, we've all seen it. We've all been a part of it. We rejoice. Man, did we ever rejoice when we merged these two churches together? I cried like a baby, man. I mean, I felt like I was, no offense, I felt like I was pregnant, and I gave birth. Sorry. Kids are in there. You're all grown up. You can handle it. And I just felt, you know, but then there's been some days come in here, you know, and half the crowd's gone.
You weren't here. Where were you?
Anyhow, the finances were down. If you go on vacation, send your tithe, please. Don't forget to pay your tithe. And there's days that you just can't feel like you did on those days. You see, we limit God only to the big miracles, and we take our moments during those times and we rejoice, but let me tell you something we take for granted a lot of times, and that is God is working and moving every day. And when we are in that valley period, and when we're in that slow period, and when we're in that low period, in that down period, in that period when you look around, you don't seem like you can see God anywhere, I want you to know, even though you can't see Him, He's still there and He's still God. Now God has done some big miracles. I would say creation is a big miracle. I would say that sending a flood to destroy the whole earth is a big, big miracle. I would say that resurrecting Jesus from the dead is a big miracle. Would you not agree with me? These things are big. And you know what? I thank God for the resurrection, and it's a big miracle. But there was another miracle that took place on Friday night, and that was the sum total of all the Old Testament. It all came to one point, and it's called Calvary. And it doesn't look too good on Calvary. It got dark on Calvary. At midnight, the sun refused to shine. And it was the day that God died, all right? Yeah, He died. He died on the cross. And I want you to know it was a bad time. The disciples were going in every direction. Everyone was afraid. They were scared. It was all over. Yeah, that was a bad time. But can you not see that God was working that Friday night at Calvary? And yes, sir, He worked Sunday morning at the resurrection. But you've got to see when you're in the crucifixion that's God, and when He resurrects, that's God, but you've got to see Him all the time. Does that make a lot of sense? It does to me. Well, God does miracles sometimes that go unnoticed. We think of miracles, we think of the demonstrated power of God. We think about the lightning flashing, the thunder rolling, earthquakes. What about the cool breeze on a hot summer day? What about the forming of a baby in a mother's womb? What about the growing up of the yellow petal of the tulip? That's a miracle. These things are miracles. I mean, in the things that we take for granted sometimes, we think God's got to move in a certain kind of way. We put Him in this box, and this is the only way you do miracles. It wasn't long ago that I needed a miracle recently. I mean, I honestly needed a miracle, and I said, God, I really need a miracle, and I really need a miracle here. You say, is it wrong to pray for miracles? No. You ought to pray for miracles. You ought to pray to God help you out, but you still trust Him as you don't seem like He's doing it. Hello? Well, I prayed to get healed, and I'm sicker than I was. Well, keep praising Him. Amen. I've prayed for folks at the hospital, and they died. Think about that next time you call me. Amen. That to be a lesson to you grasshoppers. I'm just telling you. But God still answered my prayer, and I still know the demonstration of God was there. But I needed a miracle recently, and I expected it to come in a certain way, but it didn't really come that way. The miracle came like the morning, slowly and silently, but it came, and I know it. And it was in retrospect, I looked back and said, whoa, wait a minute, I prayed, and God, You did work it out. That's not the way I thought You were going to do it, but You did it. Praise God, he did it. Now the skeptic would say, how do you really know that? I just know it, okay? How do you know you love someone? I mean, really, how do you know that? How can you really articulate that? How can you really scientifically say, I love Khalid, okay? Now, how do I don't know how I can tell. I just tell you I love the woman, okay? I love the lady, excuse me. She's my baby. I don't know how, but I just say it. It is. How's a man fall in love with a woman? I don't know, but I'm just saying you just know that it is. You ask for a miracle. Well, don't miss it because you think it's going to come a certain way in some kind of a big way. You need to look at God and know that God's going to do it. God will always do it. God has a way of doing things, and you can't explain it. So we limit God, the miraculous demonstrations of God. Number two. We limit God in the moving way God speaks to us. Do you know God's speaking every day? Every day. Now, I want to say when he does speak to you, it will line up with the word. I don't have to go over that again. Man, I've heard some kooky things that people said, God told me this, God, and it's not in here. God didn't tell you that. It's just what you wanted. You told yourself that. You try to blame it on God. Hello. About to go bankrupt. And you're making minimum wage. You went out and bought yourself a brand new BMW. And you say, well, God's not with me. Use a common sense, man. If you're only making, you know, $1,500 a month, don't go out and get a $1,500 month payment on something. I'm just going to believe God to help me. That's what the preacher said on TV. Yeah, he's getting rich on your money, and you're going to go bankrupt. I'm just saying, it's got to line up with the word. Every life has its dramatic hours. But God's speaking to us during those hours that we think not. We form conceptions of what revelation is. And I want to say there is no new revelations, okay? Anybody says that God gave me this revelation, and really that's not even really the right word. The right word would be illumination. There are no new revelations. What's the revelation? The revelation's right here. 66 books right here. This is the revelation of God. This is what God intended to speak to us. Well, I know it's not in the Bible, but God revealed unto me. God didn't reveal nothing unto you if it's not in this book. I'm fanatic about that because, man, you could say God said anything. God told me. God didn't tell you nothing. It's just your bullhead told you that, and that's what you wanted. Hello? No offense on the bullhead deal, okay? Just saying. But God is speaking. We confine God to a certain way. And we say, you know, I got this revelation. Let me say this. It is mysterious and in different ways God speaks to us. Now, he does speak to us in his word. Now, if you've never got a illumination, if I say revelation, I mean illumination, okay? Man, I've got a lot of illuminations that I read in his word. It became real to me. I got a Bible that's got pages all over it in there that's soaked in tears as I've read this word, and it came clear to me, and it made me, and it stirred my heart as God spoke to me through this word. Somebody said, I'd like to get an audible word from God. I've never got an audible word from God, okay? I never have. I'm not saying God doesn't do that. I'm just saying I have never done that. You say, I've never got an audible word either, preacher. And I sure would like to hear God speak to me literally, or should I say, what's the word I'm trying to use? Well, no. Audibly, that's the word. I hadn't had much sleep the last few weeks, or days, or months. You want to hear God speak to you audibly? I'm let God speak to me audibly right here, right in front of you. I'm going to demonstrate the audibility of God, okay? I'm going to say God's going to speak to me audibly. You ready for this? Lord, hear my prayer. Listen to my cry for mercy. Answer me because you are loyal and good. Don't judge me. Your servant, because no one's alive is right before you. My enemies. What do you say? Read the Bible out loud. If you read the Bible out loud, you can hear God's word verbally or audibly, amen. But y'all missed it, and I just probably didn't tell it right. But anyhow, I want to hear it audibly. Well, read the Bible out loud, and you'll hear God audibly. That's what I'm saying. God speaks to us in 1,000 different ways. To your heart, He nudges some. Others, He taps on the shoulder. For some of us, He has to kick us in the backside, shove us down into it. Been a lot of times that I just felt shoved into it, and I look back and say, oh, thank you, Lord, because sometimes I'm too dumb. I'm too simple sometimes. But I look back and say, that was God. I've wandered more into the will of God by God just nudging me this way, pushing me, go back this way. And I don't even know it's Him. And there I am, steps of a good man are ordered of the Lord. You understand what I'm saying? They're ordered of the Lord. And I'm going to step over here. And God said, nope. And I said, whoa, what's that all about? Well, what God does for a lot of us, because we're not always smart enough to figure it out. God is controlling our lives, is what I'm saying. And He just kind of gently moves us along as we go. And then when you look back in retrospect, you say, man, I can see God now. I didn't see God then. When I broke my leg, I didn't see God in breaking my leg, but I can look back now 20 years later and say, I see God now. What was that? That was God leading and guiding. He's speaking to me. Sometimes He speaks, and when He speaks, it comes through the music. Sometimes it comes through the sermon. Sometimes it just comes through a story, a chance meeting on the street. Different ways. All of these are used by God to speak to people's souls. Now then, I got to tell you something. I got to warn you about something. You got to be real careful. You can't live your life always looking for signs from God. You're going to get yourself in some trouble. You're going to get into danger if you do that. I'm telling you, He's got His word right here. He will speak to you. And He speaks in a lot of different ways. But let me tell you something. Just because, you know, something happens, you say, oh, I know that's a sign from God. Be careful. Let me give you an example. Your common psyche, it's psychology 101, that if you think about something, you'll see it everywhere. You know that? That's just psychology. That's something God put in us. I don't know why, but He did. If you see, for example, let me give you an example. Say you have a job opportunity in Dallas, Texas. Now, somebody here that has a job opportunity in Dallas, Texas, don't take that as a sign from God, okay? See, that's how these TV preachers get away with it. There's somebody in this audience that has a backache. My word. Probably everybody sitting here has some backaches. Hello? I watched a deal on psychics the other night and on the YouTube and how they were disproving them. And that's the same thing they do. They start out saying, well, you know, let me just give you an example. I'm just going to give you an example. I'm not going to preach all day, okay? But this is a good example right here. I'll get back to Dallas, Texas in a minute, okay? Let me follow this squirrel. Oh, it's a rabbit, wasn't it? Anyhow. This is what the psychic does. I can talk to the dead. I can speak to those that have gone beyond the grave. Now I look at this audience. Does the word or does the name Bill mean anything to anybody? How many of you that Bill could mean something to you? You know somebody named Bill? Okay. See? Works. I'm an evangelist. I'm on TV. Somebody in this audience. You've got arthritis. See what I'm saying? I was watching television once after I broke my leg, me and my wife, and I flipped through and was one of them TV preachers, and I thought to myself, the thought came to my mind, what if He called you out? You got a broken leg, you're in a situation you didn't think you was going to be in, and I didn't even tell my wife. I flipped back to that channel. Man, I was looking for Clint Eastwood or something, but man, I went back. Let's just see. And I'm not kidding with you. My wife can testify to it. She here? Yeah, she's still here. That's the reason I said that. Y'all pray for her. She's really having some really problem with her shoulder. She's about to go to anyhow. I said, it wasn't even, I mean, 30 seconds. And the evangelist looked into the TV camera and said, there's somebody watching this right now, and you've got a broke leg. Ask her. I looked over at Kalita. She looked at me. Now, she didn't even know what was going on in my mind at first. I just flipped back to make see, you know, maybe it happened. And he said, it's your left leg. It was. Now, I should have just turned the TV off right there and said, praise God, God is speaking to me. But I had to listen a little more. And then he said, you broke it on the job. I didn't break it on the job. I broke it riding a motorcycle, acting like an evil Knievel. More evil than Knievel, I always say. But, you know, that's how I broke. And then he said some other stuff, and he said it's going to be instantly healed, yada, yada, yada. Well, it wasn't, and that wasn't true. But my point is this, that, you know, going to hit somebody. That's what the psychics do. That's what they pull for things. And once you get billed, you know, and that's what the evangelist, somebody's got a cousin name. Honestly, my wife went to see somebody, and she was with some people, and they went to see this church. Is there somebody here? You've got somebody in your life named John. John, no John. Do you got, maybe a husband, wife? And man, no one's raising their hand, and the evangelist's getting kind of, you know, worried. You got a cousin. You got a second or third cousin. You got a dog named that, you know. And finally somebody raised their hand. Oh, there it is. God is speaking. No, God's not speaking. That's just psychology 101. Back to Dallas, okay? You got an opportunity in Dallas. All of a sudden, you're going to see Dallas everywhere. You're going to be driving down the road and see on the big trailer, Dallas, Texas. God's speaking to me. You're going to see it on billboards. You're going to see it on TV. That's just psycho. I'm just saying, be careful that you're just not always looking for signs from God, because it just doesn't happen all the time. But it can, and it does, but mostly unexpectedly. Mostly unexpectedly. Here's the deal, and you'll know when it is God. There won't be any. I mean, down deep inside, you'll know it's God. I'm going to give you one example, and I'm going to have to hurry because I'm almost done. Oh, my word. When I took my first church, before I did, I preached revival. I was preaching out in Mississippi, Hattiesburg, Mississippi. And there's a preacher there. He's gone on to be with the Lord, named Rocky Colley. Great friend of mine. And the night I left, I loaned him a book during that revival, and he brought it back to me. And I said, did you finish the book? And he said, no, I didn't finish the book. And I said, why don't you just keep the book? He said, well, I don't want to do that. I said, just keep the book. I said, when you get through with it, just send it to me, okay? I said, because I'm an evangelist, and at that time I was wanting to pastor. I felt the call to be a pastor. I just didn't know where I was going to go and what church was going to open up, where God wanted to place me. And so I said, when I get a church one day, I'll call you, and I'll call for my book. I won't forget. Trust me, I'll loan you something. I'm not going to forget. He said, okay, I appreciate it. And so we left that revival. I don't even know the timeline. And nobody knew I was doing this, but me and my wife went and tried out for our first church, and they voted on us, and we got it. And yet nobody knew. It's not like it's going to be widespread anyway. This was before the internet, okay? This is before Facebook. You can't even go anywhere nowadays and people know where you're at. They know more about you than you know about yourself lots of times, and that's the truth. So we got voted in on a Sunday night. After I got voted in on a Sunday night, I had to go back home to Paris, Texas. And so I loaded up my trailer. I'm now the pastor of this church. I said, we'll be back on Wednesday. Took out and went back home. I parked my trailer. I went to the mailbox, opened it up. There was that book. He didn't know that. I didn't tell him that. But the point is this. I didn't have to have that. It's not something that was a make or break deal. But it was just a little slight way God just showing me, hey, I'm in control of your life. When I start pastoring, I'm going to need that book. Got voted in that night. Got the book the next day. You say that's a coincidence. Well, you can call it what you want to do, but I tell you what, it's like a flat tire. You can think it's a coincidence. You can think you have a flat tire, but let me tell you something, baby. When you get a flat tire, you know you got a flat tire. Amen. You fishermen, you know when you catch a fish, when I catch a brick or I catch a limb or I catch something down on the bottom, some moss, sometimes I think that's a fish. But let me tell you something, when that big bass jumps on there and starts fighting, you know that ain't a limb, amen. That ain't a tree bass. That is a real bass. God will speak to you. And you'll know. You'll know. And then, thirdly, we limit God the manner of our prayer. Answered prayers. You see, we confine him to one expected answer. We think God can only answer one way, our way, and it's got to be our way. And when he answers sometimes, we fail to believe it, and we just chalk it up as a coincidence, and we just totally miss God completely. Remember the story of Rhoda? And Peter was in prison? And they called a prayer meeting. I pray to God if they put me in jail that the church will call a prayer meeting. You listen to me, board. Hello? Call a prayer meeting for me. That's what they did. And so they went to pray. And Peter's locked up in prison. And they're praying, God, get our preacher out of prison. Get our preacher out of jail. They didn't set a bond on him. They're going to kill him for preaching the truth. God, we need you now. We need a miracle. We're praying. All of a sudden, there came a knock on the door. A little girl named Rhoda opens up the door. Can I help? Peter. She slams it in his face. What in the world? She runs back in and says, Hey! Everybody pray and listen to me. Peter's at the door! He can't be at the door, Rhoda. He's in prison. But they're praying for it. And then they found out they were right. Sometimes we do the same thing. We're praying about things and God answers it and that's not what we were expecting. And God answered their prayers. And at first they did not believe it. When God answers your prayer, he can answer it in a lot of different ways, not just the way you expect him to answer it. What if the Lord limited the prayer to the things that we tolerate? I mean, Jesus, if he would have been in the garden and said, Father, you know what he prayed? Not my will, but thy will be done. That's the key to it right there. What? I mean, if he would have passed that cup, we wouldn't be saved today. If the Father would have said, okay, son. Come on. I changed my mind. We wouldn't be saved. We would have never had Calvary, and there would have been the blood that washes whiter than snow, nor the power of the resurrection. And notice that he didn't say, Father, this cup must pass for me. I pray to you, Father, and this cup must pass from me. No, he said, Father, I would you let it be? But if not possible, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And you know what? That's the way we got to pray. It's not a lack of faith. It's a faith in God's sovereignty. You got to pray and know that God is sovereign. It's not what I really want. It's not the way I really want you to answer my prayer. But nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. It's not about what I want. It's about God's sovereign power. You've got to pray to God in that way and know that God will answer your prayer in his way. I read of a chaplain in World War II while in France. He made this statement, if the Germans win this war, I will lose my faith in God. Well, he didn't lose his faith in the mercies of God. The Germans did not win. But there are a few things more dangerous than to make conditions with God. God, if you'll do this, then I'll know it's you. Don't make conditions. Don't put conditions on it. I'm just going to have to close. So we often limit God in the miraculous demonstrations of God. Sometimes he does it in the valley, not just on the mountain. And sometimes we limit God in the moving way that God speaks to us. Listen for God, but don't be, you know, one of them crazy serial Christians, fruits and flake, you know, at everything, you know, is you know. Come back to instruments, Brother Kendall. Everything is, you know, good with me. So here's the point. Look for God and experience God every day. Not just on the big days and not just on those supernatural days, but look to God and see God in the small things too. I see God and his image stamped upon my two granddaughters. And they're miracles to me. They're my little miracles. Matter of fact, there's a scripture, give it to me up here. Proves my point. Hebrews chapter 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by doing so, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Without knowing it. You didn't know, but it was God. Again, I'm not advocating for lunacy. Some Christians, especially Pentecostal, charismatic Christians, are spiritual nuts. Some of them are. There's no, I understand why a non-Pentecostal world looks at some of these churches and says, man, them people are nuts. Because some of them are. They don't have any theology. They live on an experience only. They don't know what exegesis is. They don't know what the Bible really says. They take a verse here, they take a verse there, and they, you know, they come up with stuff, and then they try to act really super spiritual. Let me tell you something, acting super spiritual is just not real. Well, praise God, I got the chicken pox. Glory be to his name. Hello. I'm sorry, but God really didn't have anything to do with you getting the chicken pox. Now, you should give God praise while you got the chicken pox, but don't put on a supernatural like, man, it doesn't matter to me. It's like water on a duck's back. I'm so spiritual, nothing. I had a flat tire on the way to work, and I was an hour late, and they fired me. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Well, you should say, blessed be the name of Jesus, absolutely. But man, I mean, you're not that spiritual. You got a little anger down inside there. You want to kick that stupid tire that caused you that job. Amen, amen, amen. Some people can see spiritual things in the chicken pox, in a root canal, in a flat, in a nagging wife. I'm sorry, bro, that's not in the Bible. Bible simply says it's better to dwell on the housetop than in the house with a nagging wife. Got that, women? That's what the Bible says. What I'm saying, don't try to act like that. But what I am saying is don't miss God and limit him to only the greater hours of your life, the big days, the uncommon times, because these times are uncommon. Let God out of the box and just don't miss the wonders of God on the common days. You see, you can't limit the shining of the sun. And according to Psalms chapter 84:11, our God is a shining sun. You can't limit the breathing of the wind. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God is like the wind. And so don't miss the everyday, ordinary fellowship with God in the ordinary things. And when you get up in the morning, it may be Monday morning, and you had a good time on Sunday morning, and Monday morning's not quite as happy, not quite as good. You're hit with everything under the sun. Let me tell you something. He's still God. You still praise him, but it doesn't mean that you don't have a little downtime, because you're always sometimes going to be down, discouraged, and sometimes depressed. But thank God he is a shining sun, and the sun is always shining somewhere. God is God on the mountain, and he's also God in the valley. Father, we pray today, God, that we can really see the significance.